From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable, Giants versus Bucks weekend, Giants fans take over Tampa weekend. Audio archive episodes of the Bleed Blue Show can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps, as well as the podcast tab of BleedBlueShow.com. So we have a fun weekend coming up. If you guys are no strangers to the platform, you already know what's headed down the line. Right now, Giant fans take over Tampa. We're going to have a lot of those details coming up. So before we get into all that, before we get into all the good stuff, let's the other episodes this weekend. And there's a quick announcement, because if you had listened to the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum yesterday, you know there's a little bit of a change in the schedule as far as next week, because I don't want people to call into the Giants show thinking they were calling for the Giants, where it's actually a different broadcast. So next week, the schedule, go to the schedule tab of BleedBlueShow.com. If you're looking for the Giants, because we're not going to be on after the game on Sunday, this is probably the first time in 3-4 years we will not be doing an immediate post game. That is rare. There's a good meaning before that, because we're all going to be in Tampa having a good time, win or lose. Hopefully we'll get the win. So here's the thing with the Giants. We will be at the game, at the weekend, all weekend long. So if you're looking to talk Giants, you want to call around 7 p.m. on Monday. That will be 7 p.m. Monday, talking Giants. Tuesday, the Yankees will be playing their wild card game versus the it looks like the Minnesota Twins. And our wild card game post game will be immediately after that game. So you want to if you're looking for the Yankees, that's usually on Monday. You're going to have to go to Tuesday. If you're looking for the Giants, go to Monday. The Knicks are not going nowhere. They're going to be on a Wednesday. The Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, we're going to have those discussions on talking Knicks. That's on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the Rangers season opener versus the Avalanche have the post game with Ranger Proud. But good episodes this week. Go to Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well. I had a great dialogue. Girls of the True Blue. Shouts to Marie Ann on that episode with Ranger Proud. Talking the conclusion of the preseason. Check out that episode. It's a good dialogue with the Ranger fans. Knicks episode, shout out to great the Knicks shows are bananas, because you talk about the most knowledgeable Knicks fans you can find. I mean, like I said, on a post, you're talking about at least 300 years of Knicks fandom on there. Shout out to Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks, and the guy who's at the Lincoln Financial Field. This guy's all over the place, man. Epic dude, man. That discussion talking Knicks, I mean, it was the Bakes frontliner was on there. Shout outs to Bakes. Shout outs to Ray, Knicks Loyalty, Chandler, Dom, all those guys. Marlo, shout outs to all those guys on the Knicks as well. And then on the Yankees episode, same thing to Worm, Av, all those guys talking Yankees. It's all lined up. So here we are, man. We got the Giants at the Bucks. Giants are 0-3. I know this is going to be a lot of carryover, but before we get into all that, let's bring on the frontline. Let's bring on Bakes. This is the Giants, the Big Blue Roundtable. This is a Frontlines podcast. Bring on Bakes. We got some announcements to make for Tampa, and then we'll get to Lady Blue. But Bakes, man, what's going on? How you doing?
What's good, Steve? What's good, everybody?
Hey, what's up?
Excited.
It's been a fun week. Talking sports.
On the eve of the takeover, it's been an interesting week talking sports. I don't know what your definition of fun is, but I don't enjoy talking about the dismantling of my New York Knicks. But we'll save that for another day. I know your Yankees advanced to the postseason. Congrats, my Mets are in the cellar. So we got to wait till next year. But on to Tampa. You know, we got a host of events scheduled. We have a meet and greet at Cayman Cove on Friday, Saturday morning for those who signed up. We're doing some community service, and on Sunday is the tailgate and the game. I'm very excited to meet as much folks as I can when we get down there and network and grow our, you know, our fandom and expand our brand and just have a good time, win or lose. Like we talked last week, We're coming down there. We're coming to have fun, have a great win or lose. We're not going to make the 0-3 thing stop us from having a great time. So everyone that's in Tampa, please come out, especially to the meet and greet. Please come out if you can make it. I know a lot of folks hit me up, so they're coming in Saturday, so they can't make it. But please come out if you can. We're going to be having prizes, specials, giveaways, so don't miss out. Come early. Wear your colors. Get ready to have a good time, man. I'm so excited, Steve.
In additional news, shout-outs to Jeff Meltdown, DJ Meltdown, for the Suncoast New York Giants. Going to hold us down Friday at the meet and greet, Sunday at the tailgate. But real recent announcement is just literally down the pipe about an hour ago, hour and a half ago. The meet and greet is now officially a donations drive, a diaper drive, canned food, supplies. So Giant fans coming from all over the country, different parts of the Canada as well, England. If you can hear my voice and you can share the news, please feel free. Bring your bring the diapers, bring canned foods for Hurricane Relief, Hurricane Maria, Puerto Rico Strong. This is for the donations for all those affected by the horrible disaster, the natural disaster with the hurricane in Puerto Rico. We definitely want to show our support, our donations, our charitable thing doing that, man. So that's the recent news down the pipe. Please share the news, a post going around on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook as well. And just keep on resharing it so everybody gets wind on that, D-Base. Oh, Base, you have additional information as well as far as Saturday morning. Tell everybody about that.
Okay. Well, the information has changed. I posted it out on the groups, but the event has changed. Unfortunately, the initial event that we planned was canceled because the project was closed early. They wrapped it up in time, so that's why they canceled our event. So I worked with the coordinator, called explainer that were coming down to do service. They were very excited about that. They never heard of a group like us, and we were happy to oblige and help out. So they have a new event for us at the same time. It's a different location. It's posted on the groups. But if you are looking for information, you could get to me at NYG Frontliners on Instagram, Frontliners NYG on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook as well if you need further information. But the folks, the 10 spots have been signed up already. So if you're looking to volunteer, I need to know ASAP. That way I can call her tomorrow and look for more spots, because it's based on availability. It's a call center. We're going to be answering calls or calling folks and following up on calls based on the disaster recovery to make sure folks have the information they need and the resources they need. So we're going to be in a call center, and there's only limited spots. So we have 10 spots. The spots have been filled. But if you want to join, I need to know as soon as possible so I can contact and say, hey, I have more volunteers ready and willing to serve, and we can get those spots filled. So just let me know.
Yeah, that's the frontline. That's Bakes. Now, meet and greet Friday. Bring your donations, your diapers, your canned foods, supplies, water, whatever you desires in your heart. Bring that to the meet and greet Cayman Cove on Dale Mabry Highway in North Tampa. Bring those supplies. As far as the fun stuff, there's a lot of drink specials on deck. A lot of great stuff that they got lined up at the Cayman Cove, man. I am so excited, thoroughly excited. We all know about the tailgate in Lot 14 as well, southwest corner of Lot 14. So a lot of that stuff, we're going to have a discussion, and I know a lot of stakeholders who are thoroughly invested in this this weekend, they are more than welcome to fellowship, party, travel, and help those in need. Bakes, I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to go back to you when we go around. Let's bring on Lady Blue. Lady Blue is heavily involved. I know she's thoroughly excited. Lady Blue, what's going on? How you doing?
Oh, nothing much. Just going crazy. I actually just got home from work since I've been there since 6:45 this morning. I am so psyched. I wish I can leave now. I wish I would have booked a hotel for tonight, but I didn't. We will be on the road first thing tomorrow morning, and I'm looking forward to it. With everything that's gone down, even here in Jax, I'm just looking for a weekend of fun, friends, and football.
A matter of fact, you tell everybody how the charity stuff that you was going in your town in Jacksonville. You guys had a drive too, didn't y'all?
Yeah, we had a drive today. Actually, I dropped off food and supplies and stuff to an organization here in Jacksonville that we're collecting a whole bunch of stuff to ship to Puerto Rico also.
All right.
So
that's great stuff. Great stuff. Let me ask you this. Before we go down and get a roll call and we can talk about this game this weekend, I know we're going to have a little bit of overtime to discuss that as well with the weekend. But it's finally here, the weekend that we've all been planning for and worked hard for to get a lot of Giant fans into one locale. What are the things you were looking forward to this weekend? Is it the camaraderie, the new faces? What's your thoughts on that? And we'll get to the stakeholders, shout them out, give them some shout-outs, and get into the Giants versus Bucks discussion.
I am looking forward to meeting the people I've been friends with for years and just giving everybody one giant hug. I am so looking forward to meeting everybody and hanging out and just having a great time with people, with fellow Giant fans. I'm so psyched about that.
And fair enough, absolutely. Let's have some fun, fellowship, help those in need. Puerto Rico, strong shout outs to our Puerto Rican brothers and sisters that are definitely in need. It'll be an honor to definitely help supply, get them back on their feet. Let's get to this roll call in order that they called. Let's shout out to Ray. Let's bring on Ray. Man, Ray's been all over the podcast, man. I mean, the Knicks. Ray's a beast with the Knicks, the Yankees. Ray sent us welcome back to the Big Blue Roundtable of Frontlines podcast. Ray, talk to us, man. Give us a quick intro, and thank you very much for sharing all the information for the weekend. Shout out to Ray, man.
Yeah, man, listen, before I even get into what I need to say, man, I just want to say thank you all my G brothers and sisters for donating to Puerto Rico. I have family members out there missing. By the grace of God, I got in touch with my cousins today. And finally, they're doing okay, man. By the grace of God, I'm so happy. I've been stressed out about that for the last 2 weeks. So all y'all, I just want to say thank you, man, for donating. You guys keep donating, keep helping out because them people are struggling out there. Now, as far as the Giants, man, I'm just looking, man, we need to get that W, man. I'm saying, man, Ben McAdoo needs to get his face out of that menu that he got for a playbook, man. We need to get something going, man. We need to do something offensive line, man. So we'll see, man. I'm just hoping that, you know, we better results, man, this game. That's all I got for now, man.
Thank you very much, Ray. Ray's been a great stakeholder to this platform and a great insight. It's great to have him aboard. As we get through this roll call, and we're going to have more people calling so we can weigh in on this Bucks and Giants game. This game is tricky. I really don't know how this is going to go. I didn't watch the entire game between the Bucks and the Vikings last week because I was actually kind of done after the Eagle game. I was beat, man. The Eagle-Giant game took up too much out of me. I was pissed at the rest of the day. But I'm surprised how they fared in Minnesota. But we'll discuss that. We'll get around. Let's get through this roll call. Let's bring on Frank. I think this is Frank. Frank, what's going on? Quick roll call time. Just introduce yourself. Tell everybody how you're doing. And then we'll come back around to you. Frank, this is Frank?
No, right here. This is Frank, Steve. What's up?
Yeah, Frank, what's good, man? How you doing? How's your week been, man?
Good, man. Just working, getting ready for we're just coming on Sunday because I got to work the weekend. So got to protect and serve, you know what I mean? So I'll be there for the tailgate, hoping to meet everybody. Glad to be part of the show. Just like Lady Blue said, just want to meet some great Giants people from all over the country, world, wherever they're coming from, and just have a good time.
Yeah, definitely. We got a lot of talking to do as far as Giants versus Bucks this weekend, as far as the game itself and the camaraderie on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Giants versus Bucks, the tailgate is going to be great, man. I mean, it was great 2 years ago. It's going to even be better then, man. Hold on, Frank. We'll go right back around to you. And for all those that's not speaking, just mute your line so we can limit all background noise. And I know this guy. I don't know if the baked chicken is overdone at this point. I don't know his pulse, but he's ready for Tampa. Big O, the honorable Big O, welcome back to the Big Blue Roundtable. Oh, talk to us. Introduction time. Just a quick intro. Everybody knows who you are on this platform. But it's good to hear from you always. Man, so 0-4-0, or what's good? And then we'll get to
Peace and love to my peoples, man. What's going on, man? Peace and love.
Peace and love, man.
Yeah, man, we need a lot of that in this country right now. This country is embarrassing to me right now. It's just we need a lot of peace and love, man. But anyway, we all packed up. Well, I'm packing now, man. I'm getting my stuff together. It's going to be a crazy weekend. Like I told you, man, I'm just going to have fun with my fans, meet and greet, and chill with civilized people, man. Don't want to be around no crazy people, so hopefully we don't have that around. I'm just looking forward, man, to this to congregate with a lot of good, you know, lovely people, man. Notice I ain't saying, you know, I'm looking forward to winning the game. I don't know yet. I'm not even thinking about that part. You already know where I stand with that baked chicken. I just don't see it. You know, I'm just there this week just to just marinate myself with some good fans, man, because I think that's the bright part of the weekend. But hopefully, you know, we can come out with a win. That'll be great. But, hey, it is yet to be seen. So we're going to have to wait on that. But other than that, man, we all pumped up over here, man. I see all week everybody is – I mean, I can't even say all week. For the last couple of months we've been talking about Tampa. So it's finally here. It's coming. I mean, you know, I'm out tomorrow. I'll be landing there in the afternoon sometime, and I'm going to get out there and get loose, man. Uber it up, man, and hopefully I can stand straight, man, at the end of the night.
Yeah, the Cayman Cove is going to have you lit. Oh, the Cayman Cove, the official host, the hub. Some folks, you're a Giants fan, they're going to take us in, man. It's going to be a ball.
Yeah, already. I'm not even a drinker like that. I don't even like drinking, but I think the Giants bought me the drinks this year. And if I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink well, man. And I told him that first Friday night, man, I told my wife, man, you're the chaperone. You're just going to have to hold me, you know, hold me up just in case I can't hold myself up because it's been a while. It's been a while. But like I said, man, it's going to be fun, man.
Big O, ladies and gentlemen, is coming to Tampa. It's going to be a movie out there now. It's a movie,
man,
official.
It's going to be a movie. It's a movie. I already got the cameras rolling, man. It's a movie.
Yeah. Big O, we're going to go back around to you. Let's get to the G6. And I know he's been –
That's who I wish was coming, man. I wish my boy G6 was coming, man.
Oh, G6. What's going on, man? Talk to us. How you doing? And then we'll go back around and start off with Bakes. Go ahead, G6.
What's up, everybody? Yeah, hey, I wish I was coming too, man. But y'all do it up for me. You know what I mean? Y'all have fun for me, man.
No.
I just can't. Right now, I just can't. I can't spend no money to see a loser product, man. I wouldn't mind meeting y'all. Maybe we'll meet on a different circumstance. But I just can't do it right now, man. I can't do it. I just can't. I can't invest no money in this team, man. That's it. I even thought about, man, I've been contemplating back and forth. Do I want to come? Let me scoot down there real quick. It's only an 8-hour drive. I'm trying to talk myself into it. But I ain't gonna do it, man. I think I'm going to chill out, man. Watch that disaster on TV. But y'all have fun, man, and party it up. And you know, enjoy yourself for me, you know?
All right, no doubt. All right, let's get into this Giants talk. We're going to start off with frontliner Bakes, NYG frontliners. Giants vs. Bucks. You already know if you're on the gram. Let us know how your thoughts on this game. Bakes, I think this is a weird game. I know the Bucks are favored by 3 points, and we'll get to the picks. Whoever's left for the survivor pool as well. But Bakes, we're gonna bring you back on. I gotta ask you, man. As far as this Tampa team, they're on paper on offense. I think they have a decent offensive line. You know, they could go with Marpet. They brought in Dotson and Donovan Smith at left tackle, but the wide receivers are very complimentary bunch with Mike Evans. They got a deep threat of – I think most Giant fans are very familiar with DeSean Jackson, all right? And then you got Humphreys on the other side. And, you know, Jameis Winston, I think, is a very up-and-coming quarterback. I always liked him at Florida State. Defensively, the Giants looked very winded in the fourth quarter versus the Eagles. I don't know, you know, especially all that time on the clock they had to give up. But D-Bakes, talk to us about this game. We put everybody on the clock, everybody on the 3 minutes. But, Bakes, how are you looking at this matchup? Are the Giants mentally into this game, do you think? Or how you feel about this front line? Go ahead and fire away, and then we'll go to Lady Blue.
So, for me, it starts in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? So, the matchup-wise, you know, we have issues. But the number one issue for me is what we do. We can't govern ourselves, you know what I'm saying? You know, Evans is a monster. You throw it up there and he's going to get it. So I'm sure Jack Rabbit's going to lock him down or, you know, have him the whole game. But the problem is it's not them. It's whoever Eli Apple is guarding is going to be the problem. Because Eli Apple has demonstrated to us in these last three games and most of last season that he doesn't know the fundamentals of being a defensive back. You know, I'm not expecting him to be a shutdown corner, but I'm expecting him to turn around when the ball's coming and stop getting, you know, 60-plus yards or 50-plus yards pass interferences. So that's a big concern. Whoever's guarding Eli Apple is a concern. My next major concern is whoever Eric Flowers is blocking, because they're going to have a field day, because he's going to give up big plays or he's going to give up holding calls. The running game, it's non-existent. And then we abandon it because we always end up being down. If we can't move the ball and get first downs, the defense stays out in the field. And that's why the defense is winded at the end of the game. And let's not also sleep. We're always saying we're getting the defense a break. But we've been giving up 100-plus yards the last three games, and that's something we didn't do. I mean, I know Doug Martin is out, but, you know, I don't know who their backup is. But they you know, we need to control the line of scrimmage and not give up yards and not give up those back-breaking third and longs, especially with a scrambling quarterback. Now, Jameis ain't the fastest guy out there for a brother, but he can still scramble. And that, if we've been looking the last couple of games, that's what's been killing us, is the breakdown of the defensive breakdown. We're good in the secondary. So the linebackers need to hold the line and watch for this guy if he's going to break off. So offense, we did click in the fourth quarter. Hopefully that continues into this game. We did score 24 points in one quarter. That's big for us. We haven't done that in a stretch of like 10, 12 games. So hopefully they can build upon that offense and sustain it across the quarters. That will give the defense more breaks and keep them fresher for late in the game when they got to make critical stops. Hopefully Eli won't throw the ball to the other team and we can get, you know, maybe 80 yards rushing and, you know, it'll be a close game. And that's the way I see it right now. But the matchups, I'm not worried about the matchups as much as I worry about what we're doing or not doing.
All right, Bakes, thank you very much. You had a little bit more time if you wanted to speak, but if you're done, we'll go on to the next stakeholder.
Yeah,
go to
let's keep it moving. Let the other stakeholders get on.
All right, cool. Sounds good. All right, let's go to Lady Blue. Lady Blue, what's your thoughts of how you look at this Tampa Bay team? I know the focus is always on us, but I want to really focus on our opponent as well. We still have to play defense. Eli Apple has been a very good, a big concern, Lady Blue. I mean, I don't know if they're going to throw him on DeSean Jackson, who's a burner, Humphreys in the slot. This is really discouraging, Lady Blue. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. On paper, just by stats, we're basically even, believe it or not, for the exception of, you know, where we rank, because we ranked dead last in rushing, and they're only ranked 26th. I mean, so on paper and by statistics, it's close. It really is. But, yeah, I'm really concerned about whoever's covering, whoever Eli Apple's covering. I mean, he got burnt like toast so far in the first three games. And whoever's up against Flowers just needs, like, to hold up a red thing and just say ole and let him through, because that's all he does. We need some help. And I've been, you know, I'm hoping that they can see what's going on and they make some changes. But, you know, Mr. Magoo has such a hard-on for Flowers. I don't know why he's not giving them help or not putting them on the other side and just rearranging stuff, you know. But I'm really worried. I really am. I am so concerned about this game because Tampa did. They looked really good against Minnesota. I was very shocked that even though they lost and they got spanked, but they didn't look that bad. Minnesota just looked that good. So they're aggravated and they're hungry because they got embarrassed last week. We are totally pissed off that we're 0-3 and we should have won that game. We really should have. But we didn't. So we're itching for our first win, but we need some help. I said, we are, our stats don't look good. Eli is not a mobile quarterback. I mean, I've been watching all the games from last week, and I saw a whole lot of quarterbacks do a quarterback sneak, and we won't even consider that, and I don't know why. We've got no help. We won't abandon the run, but yet our offensive line can't open up any holes for our running backs to run. Eli, they announced, I was watching something, and they said, yeah, Eli throws the ball like 39 seconds or 0.39 faster than any other quarterback in the league. So he gets the ball out of his hands that much faster because he knows he's got no protection. I mean, come on, poor Eli is looking right and left before he can look down the field to make sure he's not going to get killed. So we've got a lot of concerns to address. And I'm really hoping that the spark that we had in getting 24 points in one quarter lit a fire under their ass. I really hope it did. And said, hey, we are that good that we can put up points, but we'll see what happens. I mean, not for nothing. In October, everybody knows Eli is, I think, 4-0 in October. So let's not forget that. I mean, just because you know I love stats, but... But we'll see what happens. I am very concerned both on offense and defense. Even special teams last week sucked. Because if he would have let one of those kickoffs go past his head, it would have went out of bounds, and we would have started at the 40 instead of the 22. So we're just making a lot of stupid rookie mistakes, and the penalties need to calm down. I mean, we're getting way too many penalties, especially on third downs, which is crazy. We can't get a third and short, and then we go for fourth and short, which was ridiculous. But like I said, Steve, I might need bail money because I'm going to jump on the field and tackle the team. So, we'll see what happens. But that's all right. I got for now.
Shout out to Lady Blue. Before we go to Ray, the one thing I did take away from the game last week between the Buccaneers and the Vikings, and Lady Blue, I think it was in the ballpark as far as what she saw versus what I saw, as far as Tampa Bay wasn't great. They just had crazy, stupid turnovers, and they forced Jameis Winston to, I think, 3 interceptions. I know one of my favorite safeties in the league, Harrison Smith, was able to pick him off and get about a 12-yard return or 13, something like that. But Sendejo's interception really set things up for the Vikings. And whoever thought Case Keenum, the backup quarterback behind Sam Bradford, would have almost thrown for 370 yards over the Bucs. And the Bucs' defense is not that bad. I mean, you saw what they did. Remember, they didn't really play their official first game versus the Dolphins because of the hurricane, and they dismantled the Bears. And I know it's the Bears. It is what it is, 28-0. But then go to Minnesota, kind of laid an egg with all these turnovers. But to Lady Blue's point, as far as Eli Apple, who's going to D? Who? And then as well as the defensive line for the Buccaneers. You still got former Giant Robert Ayers, who's probably a little bit hungry. You got Noah Spence. You got Golston on there. And then the interior, you got Gerald McCoy. You got a load of, you got a guys who coming off a loss. You got a big deal on your hands. Let's go to Ray. Ray, talk about this game, man. Is there something about Tampa Bay you fear? Do you fear Jameis Winston in this game? Ray, talk to us, and then we'll go down the line. Go ahead, Ray.
Jameis Winston's a hell of a quarterback, young coming up and up coming. Young and upcoming quarterback. I respect him. I like him since Florida State. But if our defense doesn't repeat what they did last week, and we play like the Giants defense been playing, then we should be all right. My concern is the whole Ereck Flowers blocking thing. My question is, okay, they signed a fullback and then they signed a tight end from Minnesota supposed to block. Why the hell they're not putting them people on Ereck Flowers' side so when Ereck Flowers can't block, they can block for him? I mean, this is the mind-boggling thing that I just don't understand. We got a fullback. We got the tight end that can block. Why they're not putting him on Ereck Flowers' side? That's my question. But Tampa Bay, they're pretty – they're up-and-coming team, you know. But, you know, I think if the Giants repeat what they did last week and put up some points, I think it could be a close game. And pretty sure that hopefully we can win the game. I mean, last time we – I don't know if people remember. Last time we started 0-4, we went to the Super Bowl and we won. So, you know, we just hope and see. And maybe we can rebound in this game. But my main concern is the offensive line and – You know, Chef McAdoo. I'm gonna start calling Mac the Chef McAdoo because that big ass menu of a playbook. You know what I'm saying? He needs to get his face off of that and start realizing that what he's doing now is not working. So he needs to figure out something as far as the offensive line. But yeah, I mean, I mean, be honest, man. Eric Flowers need help in blocking, and if he can't block, just pull if the. Fullback or that tight end we got from Minnesota, put him in block. As far as Eli Apple goes, why I said this last week, why they got that young kid from Steelers. They traded for him, the cornerback. They said he's good. Yo, Eli Apple struggling, bench him and put that dude in, man. Maybe he'll do better than Eli Apple. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't understand what the hell the Giants thinking right now. Like, this is crazy, but you know, just like the definition of insanity, you keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, not happening. So I just hope that the Giants figure this thing out, and hopefully, you know, it might be a close game, but hopefully the Giants can pull it off, and that's all I got for now.
Thank you very much, Ray. He's right to the point, man. Here, he didn't even use up all his minutes on the timer. Shout out to Ray. We're going to go to Frank and get Frank's thoughts. Frank, same question for you as far as Jameis Winston. Is there anything you fear about him? Is any of the Buccaneers on the offensive side, outside weapons, interior offensive line, like Beck said, there's probably going to be no Doug Martin. What's your thoughts on this game, Frank? And we'll go ahead to the next stakeholder, which would be Big O. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, yeah, my thoughts basically, you know, with Eli, as far as him, you know, we know he doesn't have the deep throw anymore. He's slowing down on that, getting older, whatever you want to call it, whatever his issues are. But he's still got a 74% through three games. He's got a 74% quarterback rating throwing. So that's not too terrible for being 0-3. As far as, you know, like Flowers, what everybody's talking about, Tampa does a lot of this the double stunt on the outside on their defense. If you watch a lot of their plays and stuff, so if they come in and it's not even a blitz, it's just a double stunt just to get the backs on the outside out. So if they come in and they come in on him, he's going to just flop down to the ground again like he normally does. Eli, I'm talking about. So that's my problem with Flowers. As far as on the defense, I think we can contain Winston very easily. If he doesn't have those deep threats open, then we're going to stop him simply easily. I think we're all wrong. I think we're going to take this game big. I really do. I know they're saying 3 points, but I believe that we're going to take this one big. Defense is going to step up. Like David Deal said today, he said, we just need to bring the momentum from the fourth quarter into the first game, first half of the first game of the period. I don't matter. I'm trying to do something too. So I apologize. And we just need to take this into it and just, you know, continue it for four quarters. You know, we're 4-0-1 in Tampa playing against the Bucs. So let's hope these stats just hang out and they stay the same way. I mean, I'm looking for a big game and I'm looking for a W for sure.
Shout outs to Frank. He weighs in on his opening statement here on the Big Blue Roundtable, Giants versus Bucs. Giants fans take over Tampa weekend here on the Frontliners podcast, the Big Blue Roundtable. Let's go to Big O. man, I don't even know that. O's really pessimistic right now as this season. I might have to switch up the question. O, my question to you, what happened to the pass rush that we were seeing in the preseason? What happened to JPP? What happened to Vernon? I can't explain it, but I hope you can. So, Big O, please, by all means, get on the clock and do your thing. What's up with the pass rush with the Giants, man?
Hey, yeah, before I even get on that right quick, I want to get on something the last caller just said. Eli has a 74% passing rating. Of course, he only throws the ball. We don't run. So if you do the math, if you're throwing 100 times and you don't run, you better be at 74%. If we was running the ball,
like if we was getting run, if we was rushing the ball at least a little bit, at least getting something on the runs, I don't think Eli ratings would be up there, man. Eli's really regressed a lot. And before I get back on that lineman thing, the offensive line issues, I was watching the league, a lot of teams this week, a lot of teams have bad offensive line issues too. I mean, tackle positions as that. And they're getting the job done is because their quarterback has a little mobility. Every other team have a little mobility than Eli. They can buy more time. They can stretch plays. That's the issue. And all that falls back on coaching. Eli asked for two tight end sets. You totally ignored it. And that will help Eli buy time. You chip in the tackles. You chip in the end. It will help Eli buy time. So a lot of this stuff that we're going through right now in offense is also McAdoo holding this offense back as well. Now, to get back on that the reason why the defensive ends is not getting no push or not getting there, coaching. These teams are watching films. They know those two guys are deadly. They're going to chip them. They're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what don't make no sense, that we watch film all day long. These coaches watch film. They I hope they do. They're supposed to go over film and look at the nicks and crannies and look at all the details of the game, because that's what great coaches do. That's what real coaches do. And you execute those whatever you find. We're just skimming through film. I think we're a team that look like we just skimmed through film, and we expect, okay, it's Tampa Bay. They're supposed to suck, so we're just going to come in here and whoop their ass. No, they coached. They're coached, well coached. I think Cleveland is well coached than us right now. Yeah, they're not winning games, but I've seen them executing. They're scoring points. You see what I'm saying? They're not finishing because they still have issues, but I see the execution. I see the fire there. I can see in the future they're going to be somebody. With us, all I see is regression, regression, regression. And the reason why we're regressing is we got two main nucleus in our team that's screwed up right now. Our coaching and our management. If Reese would have put these players around Coughlin, we'd have had more discipline here. I don't think McAdoo is that type of leader. Yes, I gave him that last year. I praised him. I was saying we went 11-5. But I had to understand that it was the defense carrying that. This year, you think you're supposed to go over last year and fix up things from last year and come back better because you know teams are going to be coached up and ready for your team this year? They haven't done anything. They're still the same team. Again, like the last caller said, we're doing the same thing. So when you keep repeating the same thing, getting the same results, that's insanity. You know, and McAdoo doesn't get it. He's being stubborn. And I don't understand that. This week, he needs to go ahead and open his ears up, be a full head coach, and let everybody else do their job. Let the offensive line do his coach do his job. Let the offensive coordinator do his job. Take advice from Eli. Take advice from other people. Use that, because Coughlin had to change his ways when he first came in. So you need to do that. You need to do that. If you're going to change something, you need to change yourself too, McAdoo. You need to just say, okay, let me listen to everybody else and see if we can make some things work. You said last week you're going to hope that the fourth quarter of last week's game goes into this week. I hope so too, because you came in flat from preseason and it carried over into the season. Let's just hope they're starting to do some things and they can get this motor running. I know the last caller said he think we're going to blow this team out. I simply don't think so. It's because if McAdoo stays the same way, keeps the menu to his face, and keeps calling them same vanilla plays, fellas, let's just enjoy the weekend with each other, man, and not worry about what McAdoo's doing, because he's going to really send us home pissed off. And I'm not trying to go home that way.
Big O, ladies and gentlemen, signing off. Big Blue Roundtable. Thank you very much, Big O. Yeah, God, love that dude. Love that dude. Let's go to the G6. Let's look at these personnel, man. What's up with this personnel for the Bucks, man? Who do you like? Who you fear, man? Do you fear Mike Evans on the outside, Deshaun Jackson, Humphreys? Do you fear the interior offensive line, Jameis Winston? What about the defensive line, the secondary with the Bucks, the defense, what the packages they run? G6, talk to us, man.
Nah, I don't fear any of that stuff, man. I think it comes down to one thing with us. The Giants go as Eli go. If you look at his whole career, when he's successful, we're successful. When he's not, we're not. At this time, Eli can no longer really throw a deep, accurate ball. So you ask yourself this question. Why are these plays looking so – they're looking vanilla. Why are these plays looking like the player know – the defense knows what we're going to do before we do it? This offense didn't do anything last week. That impressed me. You know, I think Beckham took a hit a short route, got some yards afterwards. Same thing with Sterling Shepard. I think he hit some medium routes last week. The few deep balls he did throw were unsuccessful. So, you know, they had – I think they had 5 to 6 starters out on that defense last week. So you can't get caught up in what we did last week. This team, we were supposed to move the ball against the Eagles last week, the way they were banged up. Again, with Eli, I've been looking at it, man. I've been studying him. And this guy, the reason his completions are up, because he's not taking any chances down the field. That's why you see a lot of the routes getting jumped every single week. A lot of the defensive backs are anticipating the throw, and they seem like they're there before he can even get the ball off, because Eli's not throwing the ball past 30 yards, 35 yards. He hadn't done it in a few games now. You go back to last year, even in the Green Bay game, before the playoffs, the reason we're not scoring 20 points is because of Eli. We can say the O-line, oh, Eric Flowers, this and that. We all see it. But at the same token, like Big O just said, there are other O-lines that's just as bad as ours. The difference is their quarterbacks are taking chances down the field and making teams respect their deep passing game. Of course, you're not going to be able to run the ball when the defense is playing up, and they know, and they studied film over the last – they studied your last four games, and they see the same common denominator. Eli's not throwing deep. So what if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm saying, hey, he's not going to throw deep. As far as what we can see, he hasn't thrown deep in quite some time. We don't even care what's going on with him. We're going to play up. So that's why you're not going to get a running game. Every time we hand the ball off, they're right there. They're playing up. They're daring us to go over the top. That's why you've seen that one duck he threw to Odell Beckham last week that I think he pushed off. The ball was overthrown anyway. But that's why that play was so wide open. You ask yourself, why Beckham? Why would they leave him one-on-one deep? They don't even respect – no team respects our deep passing game right now. So as long as you're doing these short, intermediate routes where you're expecting the guy like a Shepard, Beckham, to catch the ball and then run for 60 yards for a touchdown every time you do that pass, your success rate is going to be down, but your completion is going to be up because they're safe throws. It's a safe system right now. Eli doesn't have to make a lot of, he doesn't have to take a lot of chances the way he's playing that system. I don't think it is McAdoo. I said it last Sunday. I think it is McAdoo, man. I think there were plays, there were players and plays down the field open last week that Eli refused, had time, he refused to throw that ball deep, man. He just wouldn't do it. He would force it into coverage. He would force it into double coverage on a short or medium route. That's the problem. It's all on Eli, man. Until he stretches that defense out and begin to take chances down the field, it's a wrap. We're not going to win a lot of games, man. We're not going to win a lot of games as long as he's playing that conservative football like that.
Quick question for Jesus. I just wanted you to answer a quick question. This is going to lead me to go into my little 3 minutes and say what I got to say. Do you believe Case Keenum is a better quarterback than Eli Manning? It's a simple question, at G6. I just wanted to get your thoughts.
At this point, yes. Because I got to give you my explanation on it. As long as Case Keenum can stretch the field and throw the deep ball and take chances down the field, as a defense, that's going to make you uncomfortable, so you still have to play honest. But when you know he ain't going deep, he ain't going past 30 yards with the ball or 40 yards with the ball, if that, hey, I can play with a lot of confidence. I can jump routes. We can zone this thing out. We can anticipate what they're going to do. That's why Brandon Marshall's not getting off, man. Brandon Marshall's a long, down-the-field possession type guy. Eli don't even throw them balls up to him. The routes they're trying to throw, they're trying to make Marshall a quick twitch wide receiver that you know, slants. That's not his game. That's why he's not looking good, because that's all he's like to throw at this point, man.
No, fair enough, because the reason why I asked that question, because Case Keenum had a very remarkable game versus a Tampa Bay defense that I thought, you know, should be able to hold their own. I think they are a little bit suspect at safety, but overall, if you bring in Ryan Smith and Brent Grimes, who's kind of a little up there in age, but he's been undersized. Put me on the cloud, by the way. Put me on the cloud. The cornerbacks, they were not able to contain the wide receivers on the outside this past Sunday versus the Vikings. I mean, Stephon Diggs had a very good game. And Adam Thielen's a really he's kind of a tricky wide receiver. He's very undervalued for what they do. And I thought the Vikings should have had not had their way like that. But I also look at the fact that the Vikings are going to be committed to running the ball no matter what, because we already know that the added Riley Reiff from the Detroit Lions, they switched him from right tackle to left tackle. You have that going to play. And you know they got Dalvin Cook from Florida State. And you know that he's pretty much ran the ball pretty decent. They have something in the Vikings that the Giants definitely don't, is the whole moral of this story. The Giants can't run the ball for crap. And I'm going on a point where I haven't heard any stakeholder bring up that. And I really, really watched that Eagle game very closely. And Paul Perkins is not the running back. And people may say Darkwood. I don't even think Darkwood is at times either. I think Darkwood could give you a good run here and there. Explosive. He had a nice run going towards to the end zone. Got stopped short. But the running back is not on this team. And Paul Perkins has really stalled a lot of drives with his back cuts, poor vision, and the lack of acceleration on when to turn up the speed, to hit holes hard and make guys miss. He was doing things a little bit last year, but that we're not seeing in the preseason and even in the regular season this year. So the way I look at this game now is the Bucs coming off a loss. They got the game film on the Giants, and the film is pretty much easy. Whether, you know, you got Beckham Jr., you got Shepard, you got Marshall, you got to deal with Evan Engram, Rhett Ellison, a guy that came over from the Vikings. And it's really about you got to stop those guys. The Giants can't run. They can't run the ball. The Giants have proven they can't run the ball at all. So you kind of almost damn near taking one damn dimension out of the whole thing. Now, the reason why I asked you, G6, the question about Case Keenum is, do I think Case Keenum is a better quarterback than Eli Manning? No, I don't think that. But as far as the situation, because of the option of running the football, it made him look like he was a better quarterback. You know, three touchdowns, almost threw for 370 yards. You had definitely almost had a QBR, almost damn near 100, versus a decent defense in the Bucs. And the fact that, like G6 mentioned, which I'm glad he brought up the point, is he tested those safeties for the Buccaneers. The safeties for the Bucs is suspect, man. This is where the Giants need to find a way. Somehow, got to have at least get a little play action going so you can test those two safeties with the wide receiver corps. That catch and run shit is nice and all, but it's not going to really save us in this game. We have to find a way to stretch the field and run the ball. We have to run the ball. In the time of possession, I know I'm off the clock. We got to go back to base, but run the ball. We need to move the chains, man. We can't be stalling. The time of possession has killed us. Bakes, you heard all the stakeholders, man. You heard the thoughts. If you want to chime in on what they said, anything else you would like to add on this game and things we have not brought up, somebody mentioned special teams. That was a bad punt by Brad Wynn to set up the game-winning field goal for the Eagles. But, Bakes, anything else you would like to add, go ahead and fire away. D-Bakes Frontlines, NYG Frontlines.
Yeah, man. A lot was said. I don't know. Maybe I'm still holding on to the two Super Bowl MVP championship Eli, but I think the problem lies with two things, with McAdoo's play calling and his ignorance or stubbornness to be dynamic. Because, yeah, there's other teams with bad lines, but they might have a good running back, or they might have a better scheme or way to play where they can hide their deficiencies. We're not doing that. And one thing that really stood out, what Big O said, is that the
We started off slow, and that's been the moniker with this McAdoo-style offense, is that because he's trying to hide things during the preseason, we don't get in any rhythm. And you see now game three going into game four is that we first had some rhythm. Rhythm plays into a part into an offense as well. You can have the plays, and especially with new players, you know, rhythm plays a part of you catching the ball and running the offense in sequence. And we didn't do that. I don't know if they did that in camp, but they definitely didn't do that in preseason, and they haven't done that the first 10 quarters, and the last quarter or so. They had some rhythm, made some successive passes, moved the ball. That plays a role too. And also about going down the field, I think Eli and the offense, it's a West Coast offense, so they really don't go down the field, and they throwing a lot of those out passes and wide receiver screens and halfback screens because they don't have a running game, so they're trying to supplement that as the running game. And look, last year, our biggest pass was the slant to OBJ. So we didn't never really did go down the field. And yes, that does make sense what G6 said about us, about the defense stacking up against us because we don't go deep. So the emphasis should be to be dynamic. Everyone knows what we do and we're not successful all the time, we need to switch it up. We need to switch it up. You know, go in the center, come out of the shotgun. You know what I'm saying? Put a man in motion. And someone else also said, why are we not providing help? We signed a dude to $14 million. I've been saying this for weeks now. Why is he not out there blocking? So those dynamics is what I want to comment on. But I have a question. We talk a lot about what our issues is, but what are the positive things that we can take from besides the fluidity of the offense in the fourth quarter? My question to the panel is, what's some of the positives that we have going forward?
Okay. We could definitely ask that. If you're done, you still got a little bit more time on the clock. If you want to pass that up to Lady Blue, that's fine.
Yeah, we can discuss that moving on and just, you know, overly concerned. I think this is a winnable game for us if we can do what we do best. And what is that? Because we don't run, we don't pass very well, and we don't block very well. So, you know, and let's not even start about our special teams in terms of coverage and returns. We're not getting anything out of Harris. I thought he was healthy. I know he was banged up last year, but our averages are minuscule at best. So what's going on with that? You know, those things need to get turned up too. Kicking game looks pretty solid, but we don't be in a lot of opportunities to kick the ball. But our coverage lacks, as in the breakdown in the Detroit game and some parts in the last game, where we're not covering as well. Also, it was a bad punt, so we need to fix those things too.
That is D. Bakes. That is NYG Frontliners on the gram as well as Twitter, at NYG Frontliners. Travel Fellowship, Community Service, at NYG Frontliners. Become a frontliner. And thank you very much, Bakes. Lady Blue D. Bakes had that question on the table. So what positive things would you like to take from the Philadelphia game and build upon going into week four versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Lady Blue, you're on the clock.
Our defense held us into that game, believe it or not. Regardless of the inconsistency, and yeah, our secondaries got burnt, but our defense did pretty well to keep us in that game. I mean, they were on the field a lot longer, as always, every game, but they're holding their own. I mean, don't forget, if you saw the temperature, it was 100 degrees on that field. And we can all say, yeah, they're professionals, they're making a whole lot of money, but that's flipping hot, okay, to be on the field for that long to try and go full speed, full strength at 100 degrees. They held their own. So I was very proud of the defense. And the offensive line actually came together in the fourth quarter in order to get us the 24 points. So there were some positives. There's still a whole lot more negatives, though. And I agree with D-Bakes about Dwayne Harris. To me, he's useless. His average yards or return is 2.5, and his longest has been 10. So, yeah, he's kind of a waste of space. But yeah, what we really, really need, we need a running back. We really do. We need a balls to the wall, knock your teeth in, run you over running back. And we have not had one in a very long time. If you want to laugh, I actually, never mind, I lost my train of thought. But so we have some positives, and this is a very, very winnable game. It really is. I mean, hell, the Philly game was winnable, but because of bad coaching, we didn't win. And I'm sorry. The reason why we did not win that game is because he went for it on fourth down instead of kicking the field goals. If we would have had those 6 points, we would have forced Philly to go for a touchdown, and we would have won the damn game. So the loss, I totally blame on Mr. Magoo. So totally, I blame him, because you don't chase points unless you have to. So, but I'm looking forward.
Can I ask you a question about that? Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
You make a good point, and somebody made it. We made the point during the game. Why no Shane Smith? If you got a fullback and you brought him onto the team, why not use him? He's been a stud in camp. He's been a stud in preseason. I know that's camp in preseason, but you're
right.
Gonna have a fullback use him. Why they're not using him?
Exactly. And we're at fourth and inches or fourth and one, and you throw the damn ball and you throw it. That says a lot that he has no faith in our running game at all, even though he consistently tries to get a running game. But that just proves he has no faith in it. So I just, you know, it all goes down. It goes from the top down. We could blame the players all we want, but it's coaching. The head coach isn't doing his job. The offensive line, I mean, is not coaching. They're not being coached. It's all about the coaching. It starts from the top, and it works your way down. So that's where we need to see the changes. So.
All right, cool, Lady Blue. Thank you very much.
I messaged Eric Dorsey on Facebook saying, "Dude, you need to come out of retirement. You look awesome. You still got a lot of muscles. You need to come back to the team." And he just messaged me back and said, "LOL, there's no way I'm going to play for that team right now."
That's funny. Wow. But I guess once a giant, always a giant, I guess. Thank you very much, LB.
Well, yeah, but that's how bad their running game is. He's like, because he knows he's not going to get any open holes. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are as a running back. Unless the offensive line can open up some holes, he's not going to go anywhere.
All right. Fair enough to me. Thank you very much, LB. Thank you much. We're going to go back to Ray. Ray, I forgot that T.J. Ward hasn't really made his presence felt. Personnel guy, safety guy who was a Denver Bronco, and John Elway released him. Now he signs with the Tampa Bay Bucks. So maybe there's a transition to get him into the defense as well. But it seems like this conversation is still, again, just like the Philly game, Ray, that it's all about the Giants fixing their shit and they'll win versus not respecting the opponent in the Buccaneers like the Eagles. Like, I think, well, I put it like this. The Eagles were picked a lot by Giant fans on this platform just last week that the Eagles were going to win. But it feels like the conversation is more the Giants need to fix up their woes, and if they do, they'll win. But, Ray, you heard all these stakeholders. You heard all these Giant fans sound off. I mean, what about the running game? What about the pass rush? What about securing the lead? We had a lead. We had a big fourth quarter. What positive things, like Bakes said, getting into the next game, can you carry over into week four versus the Bucks, and could we get out of there with a win and salvage our season, Ray? Talk to us.
This is how I feel, Steve. If Eli shows the passion that he did last week, especially in the fourth quarter, this is what people might disagree with me, but I feel like that's the old Eli. When the Eli is back in the corner, against the corner, that's when he produces the most. If I could see that Eli this week, we can win the game. Another thing I got is Chef McAdoo. Yes, he keeps running the same damn 11 personnel damn formation. That's the problem. He doesn't want to switch it up. He doesn't want, because he gave up on the running game, and he keeps doing the same damn 11 personnel. he needs to stop that because a lot of teams already figured us out. And they were like, a lot of teams are like, you know what? They can't run it, so we just gonna wait for the pass. See, that's the problem. You see, we like everybody said, we got, and you said too, Steve, we got this fullback. You know what I'm saying? You guys sign him. You guys ain't playing him. You got that all the tight end that can block. Guys ain't using him. So why the hell you guys sign these players? This is the thing I'm not getting. You know what I'm saying? It makes no sense to me. We need to get the running game going, because if we don't get the running game going, guess what? We're going to be one-dimensional. I've been saying this for the longest. We're going to be one-dimensional, and all the teams already going to figure – they already figured this out. So we don't get – and another thing, to be honest with you, I don't really think we even got our running back. In the two Super Bowls that we won, we had running backs. We had two running backs that actually run the ball. We can't run the ball to save our lives. And that's part of the offensive line's fault, because they can't even block. So how the hell are they going to block and open up a hole? Never mind, they can't even block for Eli. So how the hell are they going to block and open up a hole for a running back? So that's all a lot of, you know, questions and that I don't even know the answer to. But basically, the thing with me is a positive thing I can get if Eli – digs down deep like he did last week towards the end of the game against Philly, then we might have a chance. Other than that, I just don't know anymore, Steve. It's mind-boggling. I just don't know anymore. Like, McAdoo don't know what the hell he's doing with that big playbook, and his face is on it. He's not paying attention to what's really going on. It's ridiculous. So, but hopefully that we can wake up in this game and we can actually win this game. So that's all I got.
That's Ray, ladies and gentlemen. Shouts to Ray. Shouts to Ray. I'll say this for Ray. Ray said we were in the two Super Bowls. Well, the Giants got four, man. Joe Morris ran it in 86. He got Otis Anderson versus the Bills. And I know what he meant by the last two in the Eli era, so I get what he's saying. I don't want to give him a hard time. Shouts to Ray, man, very much. Thank you very much. Let's go to Frank. Frank, man, we've been trying to look at this thing logically. A big question from the front line is as far as looking at this game positively, what positive things do you like to carry over, and any additional analysis as far as games or what we should be doing or what should help this team for a victory versus the Bucs, man? Jameis, we talked about Jameis Winston. We talked about their offensive weapons. The Eli Apple woes is a huge concern. Frank, go ahead and fire away. Talk to us.
Hey, so like I said earlier, with Eli, I mean, we got to carry it over and bring him over. And, basically, with McAdoo, when he was with Green Bay calling the plays under McCarthy, you had a mobile quarterback there. Now, I'm not saying McAdoo's great. I'm not saying he's terrible either. So I'm not, you know, trying to go one-sided. But you did have a mobile quarterback with Rodgers. I mean, look what he does. He throws Hail Marys up. So he knows what he's got with Eli. He doesn't have a mobile quarterback. So he's got to call these plays over the front for 30, 35s and get the yards after the catch. He doesn't have that kind of quarterback, so he's trying to fit in with what he's got to play with. And that's what coaching does, no matter what it is. So, and he knows he's got no running game, so, yeah, he's got to throw it out to the flat to Vereen, you know, so that he can pick up stuff. So he's trying to mix it up the best he can from what I see. I could be 100% off, but I don't feel that I am. And you know, it's not all him. It's not all him either, you know. And, again, I agree with G6 on he can't go long, Eli, for sure. He cannot go long. And I agree with you, Steve, that we need to test these safeties long. But that might not be the game style now. So McAdoo's doing, I think, what he can do with what he's got to work with, which is what if I was a coach, I would do the same thing. I can only play with what I've got to play with. I can't make anything else happen. Now, calling more plays, getting different personnel in, totally agree with that, with Ray. You got to get more plays in. You got to get more players in. You got to move them in and out, get people in, get them out. Get them, you got to flip it up, move it around. You know, so I'm looking for the positive, like I said earlier, was to bring in this fourth quarter mentality that we had, scoring three touchdowns, 366 yards coming out of Eli. Having the old Eli show up, maybe it's going to take week four, maybe week five to have him show up. He might not show up at all. But if he shows up like he did in the fourth quarter, you know, I'm looking for the victory out of it. And I think they're going to be strong. I think everybody's going to be stepping up and pushing themselves hard. They had some good practices from what I've heard this week in the heat. So it's been pretty hot up there, I guess, who's ever up that area. So that might help him out on the defensive side as well. But just keeping him mixed up and just he's playing what he's got. So that's really all I got, man. I mean, I'm just looking for the win. That's it. I believe we got a strong win here.
All right. Thank you very much, Frank. Thank you very much. And signing off, Big Blue Roundtable. Giants versus the Bucks. Giants fans take over Tampa weekend. Let's go to Big O. Big O, you heard all the thoughts, and you heard D-Big's question as far as positive things. Oh, be positive. Oh, come on. Cheer, man. Come on. Be positive, Big O. You heard what Big said. What positive things could we carry over?
Okay. He said be positive. Oh, man, I wish this team was positive, man. But look, all right, here's the scenario. Here it is. You want to fix this team? You want something positive? Take John Jerry out that takes a step back on run blocks instead of taking a step forward to initiate a contact. Take him out, put Fluke over there. Last week, Collins, that left side was pretty solid. I'm not going to sugarcoat nothing. They held it up, but still help him with some chips, and we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We can buy some time. The problem is, like Chess said, we have no real running backs. D'Angelo Williams last week said he can help this team. I don't know why we're ignoring that. I've been screaming for this dude all off season. Said this dude got tread on his tires. He's a good runner. He has great field vision. He has a sense of feeling what these linemen can do, and he can make it happen. One thing Brandon Jacobs used to do with the sorry offensive line that we had his last year, Brandon know how to detect which lineman is going to open up a hole, and he hits it. I know we have linemen. The left side can open up a hole, but our running back seems to never can find a hole and hit it. Perkin is not that dude. He's not. Again, Darkwell has spurts, like Jet said, but still, he's not. I thought he was that guy, but he's not. I think, you know, we need to bring somebody in. It's not too late, and he won't probably get the offensive line down pat, but he can run some basic plays and get the ball moving. But we're not going to do that, so that's just, you know, that's just a wishful thinking. But anyway, what we got now, I'm trying to be positive, trying to be real positive. Put Goldman in. Let's see what he can do at running back at this point, because clearly our running backs just cannot find holes. Again, John Jerry really needs to be replaced, and I don't see why Coach McAdoo cannot see that. Bollinger, that the used to play football, I forgot his first name again, but he made he breaks these players down, especially linemen. John Jerry should not be on that field, period. He was garbage in Miami, and he's trash here. He's hot garbage here, and I don't understand. Fluka cannot just be as bad as him, cannot be any worse. You need to change him, get Fluka in there, and I think that'll balance out that offensive line. Eli, on the other hand, guys, I'm riding no tailcoats of Super Bowl. I'm not riding tailcoats of the past. The past is the past. History nowadays don't seem to repeat themselves. Us as fans always seem to have this. We started off at 0-2. We did this. We did that back in the days. Those are back in the days. Those are gone. Never going to repeat itself again with this team. So we need to stop saying that stuff. Stop bringing the Eli's old accomplishments back, and like he's going to do them now. We're living in the now. What is Eli going to do now, tomorrow? And he hasn't shown us anything real great. If he can't throw the deep balls, then we have problems. That if I'm Eli right now, I would just try to take him. Try it. Do it. You know, stop trying to be conservative. This is your last few years, man. Be the wild man. Do it. Throw the damn ball. Throw it, man. Buy some time. Run. Use your legs. Do something you have never done before, because you're getting to the tail end of your years. And you just do something different, man. Try it. That's all I got to say, man. They just need to try something, man, because right now what we're doing is straight predictable, novice, and it's not going to work. And if you think we're going to blow this team out, think again.
All right, Big O, thank you very much, man. Let's get to the G6, and then let's get to the E-table, and then get to these picks. The G6, please fire away. You heard all the stakeholders. Positive, G6. Think positive, man. D-Bases, think positive. Think positive. What's good?
Ain't one, man. I'll be honest. Let's all ask ourselves this question. We got Evan Engram. Why? He was going to bust up that cover two that we saw every single week last year because teams know, again, the Eli ain't throwing deep. So we saw the cover two. Every team that don't – people teams don't even run that scheme came in to run that scheme that week. I saw it. I saw teams change up their whole defensive philosophy to play the Giants last year. They're doing it again this year. If you got an Evan Engram – ask yourself this question, Steve, and everybody else on the panel. If you got an Evan Engram with the speed and the athleticism and the skill set that he has, why aren't we running him similar to the way the Panthers run Olsen or some of these other athletic tight ends down the seam where even Witten, slow cement feet, having tail, runs that route? Why aren't we running that 40-yard down the seam stuff to Engram? But that's why he was brought in. That was the explanation to why he was brought in. He was going to stretch the field because of his speed. That's why we didn't quote-unquote get Joku or one of these other tight ends that could block, was a better blocker coming out of college, was because, oh, Evan Engram got the speed. He's essentially another wide receiver on the field. So why aren't we using him in that capacity? You got to ask yourself that question. Because Eli can't throw the ball that far. Bro, it's over, man. Look, it's over. Until we get a quarterback that can go down the field. I'm sorry, y'all. But until we can get a quarterback that can go down the field, it's over. You saw the struggles last year. The defense bailed us out last year. It was the defense winning those games. It was the defense pulling us out of those games. And OBJ. You get OBJ a five-yard slant, he's liable to take that thing to the house. That's a super count on that every week. As far as the Gallman thing, I've been saying it since preseason. I saw it in preseason. He's the most complete running back we have on the team. I don't give a damn if he can't if he confused on the blocking assignment right now. They're not blocking no way. Put the boy in. He's a great pass catcher out the backfield. I can live with him making mistakes at this point as a rookie than sitting here watching Perkins tiptoe through holes, watching Darkwood struggle, and watching Vereen barely get used. Go ahead and use Gallman. He's the most complete back. I think he has the best size out of everybody. The problem with Darkwood don't really have – you saw it on the goal line play last week. Darkwood's legs aren't really that strong. He has a strong upper body, and he can use his shoulders sometimes to bowl you over. But his drive and his leg strength ain't really there. It never really has been there. That's probably why they haven't used Darkwood like that. Because he uh-huh. doesn't have that intangible. I say use Gallman, but ask yourself that question, Steve. I want to hear from you. Why wouldn't you use Evan Engram? Wasn't that the explanation we got on draft night or the days after the draft? And why aren't they using Engram in that capacity where he's going down the field as a mismatch, as Reese and McAdoo said, oh, he's a mismatch nightmare? Why aren't they using him in that capacity?
I think the only logical thing I could answer that is they don't believe that they could hold up the blocking long enough for him to get down the seams. I think that's the only thing I could think of. I mean that's the only thing why he was drafted. Run down the seams and make sure the safety goes with him. Make the safety choose. That's the only thing. Outside of that, he's running these little out plays because I don't think they believe, or McAdoo doesn't believe, that line could hold up. I think that's really the only reason it could be. So maybe we'll get to the stakeholders to get that on their final takes. Let's get to the E-table for the thoughts as what they said. Like I said, Giant fans, takeover Tampa weekend is finally here. All the stakeholders are going to be down in Tampa. A staggered schedule next week. The schedule tab at BleedBlueShow.com next week. Like I said, the Giants episode will be on Monday. And then we're pushing everything. Everything's all around the place, but it's all fun. All fun episodes next week. Let's get to the E-table. Shout out to Anthony. Shout out to Walt Scott. Shout out to Rick. Shout out to Jeff, Dan, Corey, Mike, Lala, Gary, Sharon, and Glenn. Joe says, let's say, Giants is going to win, but the coaching sucks. Flowers was rated top in his position last week. Wow. And then go to Steve Felix. Shout out to Doris, Chantel, Matt, Rob. AJ says Giants is going to win. Shout out to Carr, Ashley, Chanel, JR, Miguel, and Sean and Mary and Billy. And Chris says he's ready. Chris says he's going to see everybody down in Tampa on this weekend. It's going to be a blast. Dominic, Victor, shout out to LeVette, Big Blue Record Crew, DMV. Oh, I mean, not Big Blue Record Crew, Big Blue for Life DMV. Shout out to LeVette, T, Hakeem. Gary's going to be out there in Tampa. Looking forward to seeing them. Fred is definitely at the tailgate. That's Mr. Tailgate himself as well. So let's get to these picks and get around and get stakeholders on that's been waiting. And Survivor Pool, we got a couple people eliminated. But we got some four games on tap. Let's fly through these. We got the Titans at Texans, which I think is a very good game. Steelers at Ravens, another good game. Eagles at Chargers, another good game. And, of course, the Giants at Bucks. If Bates is with us, let's start with the picks and get Survivor picks as well. D-Bicks, you ready to rock and roll with the Week 4 picks here on the Big Blue Roundtable, a Frontliners podcast?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, yes, sir. Let's get to yes, it. Sir. Let's do this. Let's cue up the band. Big Titans at Texans.
Titans at Texans. Ooh. I'm going to go with the young gunner. I'm taking Texans.
Steelers at Ravens.
I saw that Steelers game, Ravens game. I'm old Ray Ray on two knees. Couldn't save him this week either. I'm taking Steelers.
Steelers, okay. Eagles at Chargers.
I haven't really seen the Chargers. Eagles.
All right, we're going to come back to our team last. Let's get down the line. Let's go to Lady Blue. Lady Blue, Titans at Texans.
I'm going to do Titans.
Steelers at Ravens.
Ravens.
Eagles at Chargers.
I'm going to have to take the Sheagles.
The who? Oh, you said Eagles? Oh, you said Sheagles. Okay, I didn't hear you at first time.
Sheagles.
Gotcha. You threw me off a little bit. Thank you very much. Ray, let's go to Titans at Texans.
Texans.
Steelers at Ravens.
Steelers.
Eagles at Chargers.
Eagles.
Thank you very much, Ray. Let's get the Frank's picks. Frank out there in Florida. Titans at Texans.
Texans.
All right. Steelers at Ravens.
Steelers.
Eagles at Chargers.
Chargers upset the Eagles.
All right, Big O. Let's go to Big O. Titans at Texans. Big O, the mute button.
Mute button.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, mute button. Got you. Tennessee at Houston. We're going to go with Tennessee.
Steelers at
Ravens. You know what? Let me give Deshaun a second win right now. Let me change that. I'm going to go with Houston.
All right, cool. Steelers at Ravens.
Steelers at Ravens. That's a tough game. Steelers at Ravens. I'm going to go Steelers on this one. Tight game.
Eagles at Chargers.
Eagles at Chargers. Damn, I don't like picking these dudes, but hey. I'm going Chargers. I think Chargers knock this one off.
All right, that's Big O. We got Bait Chicken Pick of the Week as well. G6, Titans at Texans.
All right, I got the Texans.
All right, Steelers at Ravens.
Steelers.
Eagles at Chargers.
I got the Chargers.
All right, my picks, I went with Texans, Steelers, Eagles. Steelers and the Sheagles, like what Lady Blue would say. So let's go back around. Bates. Giants and Bucks, Week 4. Giants and Bucks, who you got? Giants or the Buccaneers, Week 4, and why? And why? Get us an NY. Sorry about that, Bix. But Giants and Bucks.
Giants winning a late field goal, 20-17.
All right, that's a frontliner, NYG frontliner. Thank you very much. Lady Blue, Giants at Bucks. Who you got? and why?
I think the Giants are going to pull this off because they had a little bit of hope in the fourth quarter, and if they can carry that over and find the passion that they found in the first, in the fourth quarter, I think we could win. It's not going to be, I have a feeling we're only going to win by 3 or even by 7, but I have a feeling we're going to win. And before this game even starts, I'm going to pick the Packers for my survivor pool.
That's a good point. I totally forgot. Actually, I was going to go back down the line for that. But, yeah, thank you very much. As a matter of fact, Bakes,
before the game,
put your survivor on it. Bakes, what's your survivor? We'll do that, too. D. Bakes. All right, we'll come back to him. All right, let's go.
No, I'm here. What's up? I'm here.
Survivor pick. We'll do that right now.
Sir, I have been eliminated since week one.
Oh, shit. I forgot to mark it up. That's right. You're done. All right, man. You're big chicken. Sorry about that, Fix. Ray, Giants have Buccaneers. And why is your survivor pick racing?
Oh, man. Giants. I got Giants 21-14. And my survival pick, I don't even know who the hell's playing. I got the Raiders.
He's going silver and black. All right, he's going to the Oakland Las Vegas Raiders. Thank you very much, Ray. Let's go to Frank, Giants and Bucks, and why in the survivor pick? I think Frank's still alive in this. Okay, go ahead, Frank.
Definitely the Giants. 4-0 in Tampa. Eli's going to carry it over. They're going to change some things around. So definitely the Giants. I'm not going to predict the score, but we got the W on this one. Survivor pick's going to be Arizona. They're due. So that's it.
All right. Thank you very much, Frank. Let's go to Big O. Big O, Giants and Bucks. They're going to see you dead on the field, Big O. The Giants are going to see you dead on the field. Who you got?
I'm going to just still keep it real with myself, man. I just don't see it, man. This game here is going to be tough, man, but tight. I think we're just going to lose it by 3, man. So I pick Tampa Bay 17. Tampa Bay 14, Giants 11. Some kind of 12.
Right.
One of those, man. It's a tight game.
We got a survivor out of
and
you,
then
too.
I got a survivor pick. My survivor pick, I'm going to pick this week, Cincinnati over the Cleveland Browns. Cincinnati get their first win.
All right.
And
thank
then,
you very much.
And then the
big chicken.
You got the baked pig chicken of the week, man. The baked pig chicken of the week. Baked pig chicken of the week is going to be Buffalo, man. Buffalo at Atlanta.
I want some cash on that one. I want some green on that one.
Yeah. Put some ranch on that. Put some blue cheese on that one, man. Shout out to Big O. G6, Giants and Bucks.
I can't no longer pull for the Giants, man, until I see Eli change the play. So I'm gonna say 20-10 Bucks. And that's the reason why. Savannah, you already know. You already know that. So.
All right, cool. All right, I'm going with the Giants. I don't know why. They're due. Hopefully, they go off the fourth quarter, but the Bucks, they need to bounce back. Hopefully, the Giants find something, a way to expose that secondary and be pedestrian enough. Give us at least 70 yards on the ground. Give us something. Open up a play action, and the Giants could go on and win. So let's get to some final thoughts. But before we go to D-Bakes, we'll go to D-Bakes Lab. Let's go to Lady Blue. And we got a little overtime session as well here on the Big Blue Roundtable with the weekend, if anybody wants to chime in on that. LB, I know, stay on the line, but go ahead and fire away, Lady Blue, your final thoughts, and we'll go down the line to Ray and so on and so forth. Go ahead, Lady Blue.
Like I said, I'm picking the Giants only because we're due and that we haven't lost in Tampa. But I'm just more looking forward to hanging out with people and seeing people. And the game to me right now is secondary because we're doing so bad. But my final thought is I really hope we can get our shit together to finally get our first win.
Fair enough from Lady Blue. Lady Blue's looking forward to a very exciting weekend. Lady Blue, thank you very much on that. Let's go to Ray to get his final thoughts. Ray, final thoughts. Go ahead.
Steve, I'm glad that you cleared that up from what I talked last time. I meant to say Eli during the Eli era, the two Super Bowls that we won. Thank you very much, Steve. I should have clarified myself on that. But, you know, this is a must win for the Giants, man. I mean, you know, we got to win, man. If we don't win, it's over, man. It's a wrap, man. So I just hope that, you know, we win. And shout out to all my G fam, and I hope you guys have a good time down in Tampa. And I'm looking forward to next year. Hopefully next year I can go down to whatever game. I already talked to Steve, so I already know. And hopefully I can meet you guys next year. So, but yeah, go Giants. That's all I got.
I hit Ray with the bromance on the tailgate. Shout out to Ray. Thank you very much.
Yo, see, you messed me up with that one, man. I'm like, yo, what is that? Yo, is it show over? What's going on,
yo? Go, shout out to Ray, man. Let's go to Frank. Frank, final thoughts, man. Looking forward to the weekend, man. Go ahead, Frank. Fire away.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, hey, G6, you're down in South Florida, right?
That's a North Kakalaki brother.
Yeah, why? Hey, yo, come on up. Don't even worry about the game, bro. Just come out and party with us. Don't worry about the game. If you don't think we're going to win, come out and party with us and hang out.
G6 is Hollywood, man. G6 is Hollywood, man. You don't do that.
Yo, he went 25 hours. He goes 25 hours to Dallas, but won't come 8 hours up to Tampa in his own state just to come out and hang if you don't believe in the boys. Hey, so the Giants are going to take this. Everybody keep positive. We got this game. The momentum is going to shift. Mark my words.
All right, cool, man. Thank you very much. Shout outs to Frank. Let's go to Big O, his final thoughts, and then go to G6, and then Biggs. Go ahead, Big O.
Yo. Oh, well, all I got to say, man, I'm looking forward to see everybody this weekend. We're going to have a great time. We pretty much said everything about my baked chicken boys. Giants, I'm sorry, man. I'm just keeping it honest, man. Giants just looking like baked chicken right now. I'm not going to put it, not going to cut the oven on yet. But they in there, they stuffed it. It's in there, it's in the oven, man. It's prepared, it's ready to go, man. So this is the week that tells it all, man. We go down this week, which I picked us to go down because I just really don't see the off. Our defense has to play two offense every week. They got to play against us, and they got to play against the opposite team. So they playing against two offenses every week because they don't seem to ever get off the field. So if we're going to continue that, I guarantee you, man, we bake chicken, man. But other than that, man, bleed blue, man, because it has to change one day, man. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but somewhere down the line, things will change, man. Change will come. So until then, man, bleed blue.
Shout out to Big O. O, stay on for the OT. G6, final thoughts, and then go to Bakes. Go ahead, G6. G6 might have the mute button issues too. G6. I don't know what's up with the G6. All right, well, shout out to the G6 for chiming in. He's still on the tarmac. Let's go to Bakes. Bakes, your final thoughts. NYG,
okay, I'm here.
Right?
Okay, I'm here.
Oh, go ahead.
My bad, man.
G6? You're talking about a 25 seconds of leg. Go ahead, G6.
I pulled a big O.
That's a huge big O, yeah.
Hey, look.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, hey, you know what it is, man. Hope y'all have fun. Enjoy it. Party it up, man. Enjoy each other's company. And, hey, we'll just see. Like I said, you already know my stance, man. I'm riding with it till the wheels fall off.
G6, ladies and gentlemen, taking off from the tarmac of the Big Blue Roundtable. Big O, final thoughts. No, we already did Big O. We did Big O. I'm sorry. Bakes, all the information, community service, reiterate that. Go ahead, D Biggs. We got a minute left. Final thoughts, and then get into the OT and conclusion of this episode.
Friday, 6:30, Tampa, Cayman Cove. Meet and greet. Be there. Don't miss out, Giant fans. Saturday, for all the 10 folks that signed up, we are doing our community service. Be there promptly at 8:45 a.m. Sunday, 12:30 is the tailgate and the game at 4:05. Let's have a good time, regardless of the outcome. but we're looking for a win. Bleed blue.
At NYG Frontliners on the Twitter, the Instagram, and as well as the Facebook fan page, Travels Fellowship Community Service, Frontliners, man, big movement. Thank you very much, Bake. So for all those on the episode, I want to say shout-outs to Bakes, LB, Lady Blu-ray, Frank Big O, and G6. This is the conclusion of Big Blue Roundtable, Giants versus Bucks. I got to get some sleep soon. And share this episode. Please share the episode. Shout-outs to Ray, man, sharing the episodes, and Lady Blue, everybody sharing episodes so you guys could be heard. We all could be heard sharing our real adamant sports fans. We're not a monolithic podcast. We all have different views. And we have fun doing it. And no platform like the Bleed Blue Show brings fans together on an organic fan level like the Bleed Blue Show. That is facts. Frontliners, that is facts. Lady Blue, that is facts. Frank, Big O, that is facts. Bring all racing, G6. We do the best job, I think, across the board on a podcast level and mixing that up with events and sports analysis. No better than the Big Blue Roundtable. And then all the other podcasts that we do here on Bleed Blue Show. I promise you that. And that's all credit goes to the stakeholders for making it happen. Sangre Azul Overtime Edition Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the conclusion of the Big Blue Roundtable.